This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The sanctions that we've put in place apply to everyone. We're equal opportunity with respect to our command that is, thou shalt not create wealth for the Ayatollah and the people who are killing others around the world.
Mike Pompeo talking about, of course, Iran, and the situation there is always tense these days. That's an easy word to come up with because we know we've nailed that. But will we go full bore on Iran or stay steady the course with the rest of our allies, or at least most of them anyway, who are putting the economic squeeze on Tehran? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. And here we are once again, starting off talking about another country and what they are doing to us, or what could happen with us, or how we could be pulled into potentially some kind of a conflict, which would mean bodies going to war, etc. That hasn't happened. Where we are, though, at a crossroads with it. We know that, right, of course. So former special counsel Robert Mueller warned that Russia and many more countries were likely to target disinformation at U.S. voters in 2020, including Iran. So not that we don't have enough trouble with them already, but there is one leftover, one goodie from Mueller zinging it in that, oh, yeah, like a country like Iran, they could be targeting the U.S. and our elections. So needless to say, murky waters when it comes to the situation in the Strait of Hormuz. It was just last week when the British tanker was taken over. And then, of course, we had a drone shot down. Iran denied that. And what happens next? We go through yet another weekend, and let's see if there's any other incidents. And that would just ratchet it up even more. Oh, by the way, some good news to lift your spirits. It's just official. But the House passed a 2-year deal to lift spending and suspend the debt ceiling. Shocker, huh? No. It's like they just rubber stamp it. And it is bipartisan, so that word gets thrown around every once in a while. And this is the time that it gets thrown around, I guess. And it's because they actually both agree. Period. That's it. There's been a lot made about the president and his taxes and his tax returns. A huge story today popped up in the Washington Post about the IRS turning over Nixon's tax returns the same day a congressional panel asked for them. Like, boom, here it is. Turn them over. We'd have to go back to the 70s for that. Of course, it was a little bit different talking to Nixon and grabbing his returns versus Trump's. But the war on trying to get those taxes has not stopped. The House Ways and Means Committee has requested 6 years of Trump's personal and business tax returns from 2013 to 2018. That includes several years before Trump became president. The chair, Richard Neal, recently sued the Trump administration in federal court to get the records after Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin argued in a May letter that Neal's unprecedented request would be denied, or at least should be denied. What a feud. And there doesn't seem to be any give or take here on whether or not we'll ever see those tax records. And there is that push, though, like I said, the push. And I think this is a Democratic play, of course, because what could there possibly be in those records? But they better get them soon, because there'd be boxes and boxes and boxes, theoretically virtual boxes, of what these returns would be like. And pouring through them would be an arduous task, needless to say, if you think of all the enterprises that President Trump is involved in. this certainly wouldn't be any layup, a couple of boxes, and you just pedal through them and no big deal. It'd be quite the opposite. It would take a long time to really get to the grist of whatever they're trying to find. If you're in Paris and you're listening to me, and I actually do have some people that listen overseas, ooh, it is blistering. I happened to see the Tour de France for a couple of moments, and that's all they could talk about was the heat. 108 degrees. They are basking there. Basking. They're turning on every faucet that they can find, anything to just combat the sweltering heat. It may ease up with some rain coming in on the weekend, but it's pretty gnarly right now. In Amsterdam, same thing. You had crowds jumping into a central square fountain while you had workers spraying water on bridges over the famed canals to stop the metal structures from deforming in the heat. See, that's the kind of stuff you have to think about. It's not just, oh, poor people. People are really hot. No, it's what happens to other things like metal structures. So it is really a big deal, besides humans complaining, as to what else is going on when you have super, super high temperatures like that you're not expecting. Wow. Again, what a difference a couple of weeks can make. And then I turn to this poll as we kind of jump around here and give you a few little nuggets at the top and bring it back to politics. In Ohio, Vice President Joe Biden rules of all top Democratic presidential candidates, only Biden beats Donald Trump head to head. And this is a Quinnipiac University poll that was just done. In that race, Biden and Trump, 50% of the likely Ohio voters surveyed say they'd vote for Biden. 42 go to Trump. And then Trump is in a dead heat with five other leading Democratic contenders, U.S. Senator Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, all senators, of course, and the Indiana mayor as well falls into that category. I mean, the polls at this point, do they shed any light on anything? I guess you could say that. Because somebody else could look at the polls and say, we need to pick it up here or pick it up there. I don't think the president is sweating it over a poll in Ohio and his numbers compared to Joe Biden's in a small, small sampling. It's just too small, I would say. I bought apples the other day at the store. Did not know that one apple carries 100 million bacteria. But I found out that's actually a good thing. You know, when they say an apple a day keeps the doctor away, a new study reveals that a typical 240-gram apple has about 100 million bacteria, and it's in the seeds and the skin. So it does sound odd to say that, but it's good kind of bacteria. So when you're passing by the apples and you're on your way to the Doritos, maybe pick up a few. I'd take that bet. There's a reason why they've said it for so, so long. Why not? I bet you I'll be back in the next segment, and I will, as we talk about some numbers and the mailbag. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Sweet! Let's go to the mailbag, and boy, there's some interesting mail this time around. How about this one from Harry, who listens to us in Pennsylvania? He says, Kate, did you see the story about the 16 Marines that were actually arrested in this human smuggling deal? I was stunned to learn about it, although maybe I shouldn't have been stunned, but it was an interesting story, I have to say, and I wondered if you had any more deets on it, if you know what I mean. I did read that same story. I mean, there were stories all over the place about it. It happened the Marines were arrested during what was a typical morning formation at Camp Pendleton for alleged involvement in a couple of different things. A lot of it had to do with human smuggling, and then there was drug-related things as well. According to what the press release from the U.S. Marine Corps said, that's what they do when they find, you know, when they're investigating this. 8 other Marines were questioned about their involvement with drugs. And the arrests were somehow related to something that happened this month where 2 Marines from Camp Pendleton were charged with transporting undocumented immigrants for financial gain. Yikes. So that's not good. And that's the U.S.-Mexico border that we're talking about. And so once they nailed them, they started to look into this. What happened was supposedly they were offered to pick someone up for $1,000 and drive them away from the border. And then that would be, you know, smuggling them out of the border. That's what they were questioned for, and that's where the money exchange hands, and we'll see if it's any deeper than that. But 16 is a pretty big number. So maybe some of them aren't directly involved. Maybe they are. Like I said, there's a reason why you use the word alleged, because we have to see how that plays out. But it doesn't look good, let's put it that way. And it was kind of eye-popping. Speaking of eye-popping, this is eye-popping, too. This one is from Fred, and Fred said, Kate, I know that you travel a lot, and I think you were in New York a couple of times in June. Did you see that New York is suing American Airlines over employee sick leave? Man, just when you think these workers' programs have it down, they don't, these HR departments. Yeah, well, so what it is it's the Worker Protection Department and New York City's. And they said that American Airlines is violating the sick leave in that city because they retaliated against workers who use sick days or not letting them use the sick leave that they've accrued. So the Department of Consumer and Worker Protection announced that they had sued the airline, right, saying that they're not above the law. American Airlines, you're not above the law because people work in hubs. So thousands of people go through there every day, and they get in trouble for this whole sick thing because they're saying, no, they work, they're New Yorkers, or they are working in the New York airport, so they are allowed to call in sick. I think they win this one. I'm no lawyer, but, boy, they have a lot of ground to stand on here. And they're talking about getting, they're looking for $375,000 in restitution, which would cover 750 ground crew workers, including agents, fleet service, mechanical employees, and civil penalties, too. And then, of course, right away, American releases a statement saying that, oh, their employees enjoy generous sick leave and benefits, including those set by union contracts with terms that are generous, blah, 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 and they'll continue to do so. I think they're going to have to pay up that amount unless they find a way out of it. So they had to release that kind of a statement, but I don't think it washes in court. I don't think that happens. All right, on to the next one. This one is from Ralph, and what's on Ralph's mind is he's saying, Kate, I've listened to you talk about gators, and the meth gator story was wicked crazy. And then I wonder about Florida and iguanas. They have a big problem with iguanas in some areas, and they're saying that, you know, they were talking about killing iguanas on their property when they can, and now they're saying they told people to do that, and now they're saying not to do that, that it's too Wild West for that. So apparently there were a lot of people that were out and they were trying to shoot iguanas. So listen, make up your mind, Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. First you want them to shoot them, and then you pull back and say, well, wait, this isn't the Wicked Wild West. You can't do that. You know, we've changed our mind. Because they realized that people were hitting seawalls and sidewalks and all that kind of stuff. And they were also exploding in that way. You know, there's professional trappers who can remove them from property, of course. And the thing with green iguanas, they can get up to 5 feet in length, and they're like 17 pounds. I've seen them, actually, in Florida. And, you know, the fact that you can kill them without a permit has caused a little bit of a problem. Of course, who has that dead eye aim? And they're worried, though, about the green iguanas because they can threaten native species and endangered species of different things, including tree snails. And you scoff and say, who cares about the snails? But then you find out that they have some serious purpose. It's that whole looking at what the response is in nature when you pull an element out of it. And it's just, we just don't think of it, right? Let's move on to something completely different. Facebook. And we have Frank who says, Facebook. Oh, Facebook is like the evil empire. Mark Zuckerberg got away with everything until he didn't get away with everything. And so now they're going to look at a couple of, the Justice Department is actually going to look under the hood on Facebook for anti-competitive and anti-consumer actions. And what are the practices they're engaging in to reduce competition and stifle innovation or even harm consumers? You think they'll find any of that at Facebook or Twitter or Google or Amazon. They're going to look at social media. They're going to look at retail online services. That's what they're going to go through all of that. And they're preparing an antitrust investigation of Google's internal practices and their search rankings and all of that. And Facebook has a $5 billion fine from the Federal Trade Commission because of an investigation into their privacy practices. See, that's the thing. It is like the Wild West here, or it was years ago. Launch, everybody's excited. You're trying to be bigger, badder, better. And then all of a sudden, privacy issues come up and other antitrust issues come up that you're not even looking at, or maybe you are. And it's that idea of innocent until proven guilty, maybe. But it's not just Facebook. Like I said, it's Google. It's a couple of others, too, that they're pointing to, even Amazon, to look at this whole monopoly situation and what's happening there. So I say that's a good thing if they're going to look at it. Look closer. Do it. Absolutely. Of course. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. All right. Let's see if we can get another one in. This one is from Jake. Jake is a frequent emailer to the show. Hi, Katie Kate. I miss hearing your voice when I'm on the road, so I had a chance to send an email, and this is that email. I think one of the coolest things that I've seen, I mean, there's so much I could bounce on with the Mueller thing, etc., but instead I'm going to go high. The opening ceremony for the 2020 Summer Olympic Games in Tokyo is 1 year away. And what I love is that the medals are all part of 80,000 tons of mobile phones and small electronic devices around Japan. That's what they're using for the gold, silver, and bronze medal awards for the athletes at the game. And you think about 5,000 medals are given out between really two games, the Olympics and the Paralympics. So that's like 6 million mobile phones. I love that they got old phones and parts and they recycled them and figured out how to do that. And the medals are made out of that, you know, found in donated electronics and phones. Oh, now that's good recycling we can talk about. They had about 158 million pounds of donated electronics. And then, of course, they reduce it. 71 pots of gold, 7,700 pots of silver, 4,800 pounds, rather, not pots, pounds. Pots would be a different story. So 71 pounds of gold, 7,700 pounds of silver, 4,800 pounds of bronze. I love it, love it, love it. I love that they're fusing them all together. Bravo. Thank you for that email. You're right. It was uplifting. Hang with us, more to come. On the flip side, I'll meet you there.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
Secretary Esper, your lifetime of noble service has prepared you for this immense responsibility, and that's what it is, immense responsibility.
President Trump, along with Vice President Mike Pence, outside the Pentagon for a welcome ceremony for the new Defense Secretary, Mark Esper.
On behalf of our entire country,
Thank you and congratulations.
I have absolute confidence that Mark will ensure that our incredible military is fully prepared to deter conflict and to defeat any foe.
Esper then expressing his thanks toward the president.
Our military has made tremendous gains in recent years thanks to your leadership. And today, we are ready to face any challenge, anytime, anywhere, as we continue to stand guard around the world.
Esper confirmed by the Senate 90-8. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. I mean, you know, I love him.
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star, and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Every hiring manager knows that a company is only as good as the people it's made from. So where do you find the best people? That may surprise you.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
This is talent worth knowing about.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Here on America Tonight, an important one. Think of endoscopy. I've got Dave Schwartz with us, Citizens for Safe Endoscopy. Think about it, and I know Joan Rivers, if you remember, it's been 2 years, but how shocked and horrified people were when they realized what it was that had happened to her with endoscopy. And, of course, her poor daughter was just beside herself. But I think it really shined a light on what are the problems and how do you ensure that it's safe with the procedure that you're getting that you think is relatively routine, or is it? Dave, thanks so much for popping up on the show. I guess that's the question. Is it relatively routine, or do we just think that?
Well, and thank you for having me on such an important issue. There are multiple facets to this issue, but the bottom line is medical dishonesty and intellectual dishonesty on the part of the medical profession. We have about 10 million upper endoscopic procedures every single year. And these 10 million, for the most part, patients are sedated during those procedures. And this is where the medical dishonesty comes in from. It's about $3,000 or anywhere up to $3,000 to do an in-office upper endoscopic procedure, which means $30 billion. $30 billion in the pockets of the medical industry, and patients are paying that money. There is a procedure, transnasal endoscopy, or transnasal esophagoscopy, which basically is like a spaghetti-like camera that goes through the nose. The patient is completely upright, completely awake during the procedure, and the entire procedure does not take more than 10 minutes. And you get the same screening as you would by sedating a patient and going through the throat to the usual EGD. And the reason why this is happening is all about money. The transnasal procedure, the reimbursement is about $200. The in-office sedation is around $3,000. We think we could save $15 billion a year. And also, obviously, there's a safety issue involved, because although the vast majority of sedated procedures go as planned, 0.5% don't, and they end up in some sort of complication. And obviously, in the Joan Rivers case, it was a tragic complication. So when you look at 0.5, it doesn't sound like that's a big number, but 0.5 amounts to 50,000 procedures every single year with complications due to sedation. And some of those people tragically die. And you know, the medical dishonesty that's going on, where patients aren't informed of a safer procedure, where greed is at play here, is just unconscionable.
Yeah, so you're trying to raise that awareness, am I right? And you're doing interviews like this. And what else do you do to let people know, hey, be careful, this is the deal?
You know, we just started this movement. This movement has been really shut down by a lot of forces, whether it's medical societies, the FDA, and also big manufacturers, foreign manufacturers, Olympus, and other endoscopic manufacturers, which own 100% of the endoscope market. And they don't want these issues to come into play. So that's a huge issue. And now with Obamacare, we just heard today that UnitedHealthcare is going to lose $1 billion this year. You know, we could save $15 billion a year in the system, $15 billion, by doing simpler procedures that are safer and are cost-effective. And we're not getting it done, and we're not getting the word out there because of all these forces that spend millions and millions of dollars lobbying to keep the status quo. It's really an unconscionable situation. And then there's the situation of endoscopic cross-contamination. That's the second piece that we're working on.
Yeah.
And we believe, you know, there are 15 million endoscopic procedures every year in the U.S., that 2.7% of them amount to some sort of cross-contamination. That's at least 270,000 patients at risk every single year due to endoscopic cross-contamination. And again, there are technologies out there that could alleviate this problem. There's the endosheath technology. There are disposable endoscopes out there. So we need to push for a complete sterilization standard. You know, this needs to be a semi-critical device, which would call for complete sterilization, as opposed to the disinfection standard that's in place right now, which is the killing of almost all microbial life, but not all. And the types of microbial life that could live through the disinfection process are hepatitis and tuberculosis and all these superbugs.
Wow.
And we have technology out there right now that could avoid this. But again, the forces, the endoscope manufacturers, the medical dishonesty that's going on is a shame. You know, we just want to have an education process and enter into a conversation here where we can do better. We could really do better as a country and alleviate this for patients. And it's the lobbying and it's the big forces out there that are trying to quash this movement.
Yeah, we're speaking with Dave Schwartz, Citizens for Safe Endoscopy, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. And, you know, it's interesting you say about the contamination. And this was on the heels, a lot of this started to break on the heels a couple of years ago of Joan Rivers dying and the contamination in Los Angeles in a well-known hospital. And I think that people are just scared to death. And this is good to warn people there are other procedures. And, you know, when it's suggested by your doctor, you may have some people that take a step back now.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that we got to go to 0 to 100, and you know, we could have had a conversation all along and an analysis all along over a number of years. And by the way, the cross-contamination outbreaks that we hear about, like UCLA, it just scratches the surface, because we don't even know about all the patients out there that have been infected, because the ASGE comes up with it, and that's the American Society of Gastroenterologists. They come up with a fictional number. They say it's 1 out of 1.8 million. At least they were going with that number for a while. I think they're starting to back off it. In order to come up with that number, you know, you have to have an endoscopic procedure in a doctor's office, all right? And then, you know, a few weeks later, you come down with some sort of virus or something. You know, know, you have to go back to that doctor. The doctor has to say to the patient, oh, yeah, you got infected by the endoscopic procedure that I gave to you 3 weeks ago. And by the way, hang on here 1 second. I'm going to go report this to a medical journal. I think we all understand how fictional and how right. ridiculous that scenario is. And that's where they came up with their number, one out of 1.8 million. It's really a lot more. And there's so many infections that people get, you know, just common infections. A lot of times it's not a major infection when I give the 270,000 number. But, and they can't, there's just no linkage to the endoscopic procedure that they had. We have to take a good look at this. And there are solutions out there. We have solutions out there. The endosheath technology, which is a giant condom-like object that goes over all the parts of the endoscope that come into contact with the human body, and then the other parts are disposable. That technology is out there today. And I have to tell you, Olympus, you know, they're claiming they didn't know that their duendoscopes were unsafe. They've known about it since the mid-90s. In fact, if you look at some of their patent applications, they admit that there could be problems with cross-contamination. Oh. So I have no idea, you know, what's going to happen with them, but somebody needs to take a good look. I know they're under investigation, and, you know, we just need to know the facts.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people have to go through this procedure because you have people that, what's really prevalent, and I know that's always suggested, is people with acid reflux. And I think more and more people have that. So it's not, oh, that's just something that happens with a few people. No. It's still being suggested and recommended all over the place, isn't it?
Sure. Acid reflux is a secret killer because, you know, that could lead to esophageal cancer, which is the fastest growing cancer, and Barrett's esophagus, all kinds of problems. I have the good news, though, with that. With acid reflux, the good news is when you're doing screening for acid reflux and esophageal cancer and all the other related conditions, you don't need to have an endoscopic procedure where you're put out, you lose an entire day of work, and you're risking, there's safety issues in risking that. You could have a TNE, a transnasal esophagoscopy, through the nose, sitting upright. It takes 5 minutes to get a diagnosis of acid reflux. It takes 5 to 10 minutes to do an analysis of your vocal cords and your esophagus. And that's the good news. And the second part of the good news is that technology, the sheath technology, is perfected in the T&E procedures. So every single person could get screened for acid reflux through a T&E procedure, and the patients should really start demanding it. We need a full movement here because they're not teaching T&E in medical schools. They're teaching the traditional methods because of the intellectual dishonesty, I think, that's in the medical profession right now, where they make the $3,000 a pop by putting patients out. And by the way, what about the effects on the economy of a patient being put out and losing an entire day of work, as opposed to a T&E procedure where it's a spaghetti-like camera? It works just as good as the traditional endoscope. And it's videotaped, and the doctor can go back and look at every aspect of it. And I've had it done to myself.
Yeah, I've heard that, too.
It works perfectly. And the question becomes, why is this not prevalent? Why don't we have 5 million T&E procedures a year?
Yep.
And it's all intellectual dishonesty and a real conspiracy on the part of the manufacturers.
Absolutely. We got to fly. Dave Schwartz, thanks so much. Check it out. We'll talk to you again. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on.
So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
On today's author corner, I'll tell you what, I'm so excited to introduce you to Larry Burke. I know I say I'm so excited, but I have such a love for science fiction. I'm a huge fan. And he's written a novel that's really, really cool. And I love the title, A Remarkable Curse. Larry, so first of all, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
I'm glad to be here.
So what was it that drove you to write A Remarkable Curse? I mean, if you first of all, I'm going to re-rack this. Are you a huge sci-fi fan?
I am.
And is it just kind of surreal for you to have written about sci-fi, to come up with a story, to come up with these characters and flesh them out?
I've always wanted to write a book. And a few years back, I decided I'm going to do it, and I wrote Alien Within. And from that, this new series spawned off of that first book.
And so Alien Within, you write that, and then you realize, okay, I can do this. And then you go from there, and you think, I can do a series. How did the series idea come about? Because you had more to say?
Yes, well, the first book was, you know, out of vanity. I just wanted to do it. And like you said, I got through with it, and I realized, you know, I like this. And this new series started off is written different than the first book. The first book was written in first person, was more in depth. It was dark. But out of that, the young protagonist, Lisa, spawned the whole idea to create a series.
And the series that you did, too, by the way, anyone can read it, but it targets certainly the young adult audience. And did you find that, and this is, of course, the young adult audience is big for sci-fi, so did it all just kind of come together like, oh, I'm going to write it this way? How did you decide that was your target audience?
Actually, the target audience, it was really young and old. Anybody that likes science, anybody that likes science fiction, anybody that likes fiction. But the younger audience came into play when I realized I don't write with profanity. I don't write with vulgarity. And I thought to myself, this is wonderful for younger people because they are so washed with bad influence nowadays. And I thought this would be a great experience for young people to get into science fiction that's not, you know, all blood and guts.
I like that. We're speaking with Larry Burke, and we're talking about A Remarkable Curse. We're talking about the series and, of course, the target audience and what it's turned into. For you, what's the hardest part about writing?
Outside distractions. You know, if I could just sit in a room, you know, drink some coffee and write, I could probably write all day.
But what a great feeling that you know you have this gift and you could write all day if you had that time. How about the people around you? Because you're a working guy and there's people that obviously, I'm sure you've told that you've written these books and maybe they've read them. What's been their reaction to that?
A few of them that have given books to me, they just love them. They're exciting. They're uplifting, you know, because in all three of these, this series, it promotes hope, faith, and, you know, and it has a positive message. Even though there is a bad thing happening, it all ends up real good.
I like that. It all ends up real good. Did you, because you were a fan like I am of sci-fi, was there somebody you read or something you watched through the years that you really, really liked, and because I think that would have influenced you?
Well, I'm sure we've all been influenced throughout the many years, you know. But I think the Science Channel and the History Channel really got me into it.
I like the Science and the History Channel. I watch both of those, too. We're probably watching the same things.
I love the Science Channel.
Yeah,
and
me too.
The History Channel.
Yep. Yep, and it's kind of like a marriage between the two of them, I think. So you talked about Lisa. Is Lisa your favorite character? Who's your favorite character?
I really don't have a favorite. I have a handful of favorites. Lisa, of course, started it as one of my favorites, and I really enjoyed rereading Remarkable Curse because of the emotional attachment the characters have. But her daughter, who becomes the savior of the world, her name is Hope, and she's introduced in the at the end of the book when, you know, when she's born. But she's the main character of the next book, which is Beyond Providence. And I think she's probably my favorite. She's the strongest, has the most responsibility, and she just pulls it all together.
Okay, so Hope is the strongest. I like that. And we're talking about A Remarkable Cure and the series and sci-fi and influences and writing these books. What do you hope people take away from, whether they're young adults or older, what do you hope people take away from reading your books?
Well, you can look at any part of the world, and it's just chaos. And I think that young people really need to understand that it doesn't have to be chaos, that you can find hope even in a desperate means. You can find some faith and hope things will turn out okay.
Yeah. If people want to get your books, I'm thinking Amazon.com, but is there someplace else they can go as well?
Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million.
Books A Million, where books are sold, yeah. Anywhere that books are sold, so I like that. Larry, as you look down the path, and, you know, all of us think about, well, I could also do this, I could write that, and because you're prolific with this, you just want to keep on writing, right? Even though you have, as you said, distractions because you're working and you have other things that are pulling at you, do you see yourself just keep on writing other books, coming up with other ideas?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I've got a mystery in mind, another fiction, it's not a science fiction, just another fiction in mind. You know, so I have a couple other ideas that I'm working on.
And so for people listening, too, there's other people that sometimes have ideas, you know, wiggling around in the back of their head. Was that the best day ever when you decided, I'm going to write Alien Within? I'm going to just write. I just have this idea. Instead of putting it off, I'm going to do it. Was there something about finally taking that leap?
I'm not so sure about that. When I decided to write it, it's mostly because it's in a time in my life where, you know, I had lost my father. He had passed away, and I thought, damn, that's a shame. I should have done this while he was still around. So I basically did it, you know, in reference to or in respect for him.
Oh, wow. That's an even deeper meaning, because you realize, okay, I'm going to do this, and how interesting is that? And we're speaking with Larry Burke, and the name of the book is A Remarkable Curse, actually a series. And, boy, what fun it's been talking to you about watching the Science and History Channel and how you come up with these characters. And we'll tell everyone again, they can pick up the books at Amazon.com, of course, or wherever books are sold. Larry, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on, and I hope your listeners are going to buy my book.
There you go. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Kate.
Wow, so sci-fi really is so interesting to me, and it's really since I've been older that I've gotten into it. And when I say older, when I've gotten out of college and I started to pay attention more and started to watch some shows, kind of like Larry, the same thing. I got into the History Channel and then Science, and it's just fascinating to me. So to be able to write science fiction, I think there's a real art to it. And the fact that he started with the one book and then went into the series, came up with the characters. And what I love about what he said is that, you know, young people need some positive messages. It's not vulgar. It doesn't have any of that in it. There's hope and faith and a positive message. I say right on to Larry for writing that, those kinds of books. And thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. We'll see you again soon.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.